and welcome to Visa Talks, interesting discussions with interesting people from all around the world. I'm your host for today, Maria Roa, and I am delighted to be joined by Annette Lawlor. Annette is CEO and founder of Lion People Global, a localization-specific recruitment company. She is responsible for making connections to drive revenue growth within the global language industry, digital media, and lately, the artificial intelligence industry through its merged and acquisitions, talent, and training solutions. Annette is also passionate about people's first, honesty, well-being, running, sea, swimming, yoga, walking, cooking, and happiness. Oh my goodness, so many things. But we need to talk about the happiness because I know it sounds weird, but I am one of those people, Annette. I am like crazy about happiness, and it's something that I try to tell everyone that I meet about. I think you can spread happiness around. So we need
absolutely to... agreed.
Yeah. Annette, you're very welcome to the show. Let's move on because I have a lot to talk to you about.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, I'm just on the note of happiness. Before you kick off, I was recently at Gala and the keynote speaker was the CEO of Meetup. And actually, one of the things that he talked about as a leader was kindness. And I just thought, you know, it was really interesting, the take that he had on that, because it was really incorporating happiness and kindness in the one idea that, in other words, if somebody isn't performing on their job, that it's actually kinder to let them know that, you know, they're not, give them a chance to improve rather than leaving it sit because the company's not happy, but also the person isn't happy. So, you know, kindness and well-being comes from being motivated in the right way. So I really liked, you know, from a people perspective, I really liked his take on it. But yeah, I think we all need to fill our cup every day before we start, and then the world will be a better place.
You're right. I was there too. And actually that keynote was, yeah, it was spectacular. But yeah.
Yeah,
right. I think like happiness, it's very important at work. It's something that I try to spread like absolutely every day because it makes working a lot easier with everyone you're with. I mean, it makes working better. So
indeed.
Let's go for it. Yeah. Well, I actually always like to start asking our guests, how did you get started in the industry you work with? So in this case, it's the talent industry. And why specifically working with the localization industry? Were you always interested in language, translation, localization, people in your case?
Interestingly enough, no. No, not at all. I mean, it's funny. It's one of the things that when we did our podcast was the first question I always asked people as well was, how do they get into this space? And I was always quite amazed at the amount of people that fell into it by chance. And I was one of those people. So I actually used to sell software back in the day. I used to sell object technology, which, you know, back then was cutting edge. And, you know, I always found that it was a very difficult technical sell. And while I was good at it and was able to do it, I wanted to move into something that I had a good, clear understanding about. And that was people for me. So it was moving into recruitment, technical recruitment at the time, that actually gave me the understanding of technology and that space just from learning exactly people's jobs and what they did. And I loved that aspect of it. And I did that in the States for a long time and then relocated back to Ireland and ended up working in a company where I was running one of their divisions. And one of the companies that I worked with really, really loved the roles, the project management roles, the business development roles, the linguistic roles. I love the fact that it was global. I love the fact that I was talking to different people all the time. So when I got pregnant, I started my own company, as you do, 2 months into the pregnancy. And my first ever cold call actually was to VistaTech, to Siobhan. And we ended up getting them on as a client back in 2018 when it was Synergy Recruit. And thankfully, VistaTech is still a client today. So, I mean, I absolutely just love the space because it's global and there's a community feeling in this space that you just can't get in other industries. And I just found that it was a natural progression for me to move into this niche.
That's great. And it is amazing that you, following your career in recruitment, you decided to open your own agency. What was the thinking behind this decision? I mean, like, can you expand on the work you do today? Because I mean, like, I don't know, how did you go from like working to others to, no, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to go ahead. I'm going to build this empire by myself. I mean, like, it's crazy.
Well, you know, I think like most entrepreneurs, it's either in your blood or not. I come from a family of entrepreneurs. So all of my family, most of my family are self-employed in different businesses. And it's just always something that I've been naturally inclined to do. I'm also somebody who's a doer, rather than sort of sitting there trying to figure out, you know, will I research this? Will I do this? I'll just kind of jump on and do it straight away. And then, you know, fail fast and pivot, as my business partner would say. You know, that's always been the way. I mean, and it continues to be that. So, I mean, I started this 3 months into a pregnancy, so there wasn't a lot of thought behind it. My husband wasn't very happy at the time. But, you know, it worked out well. I figured, why not? Why not now? You know, it's kind of, as I said, the industry has grown and evolved over time, and so have we. So we've kind of mirrored that. You know, the localization industry back then, you know, there wasn't even a differentiation between project management and salespeople. Project managers did all the sales, and, you know, there was certainly not the robust list of roles that we have open today. And so we followed that trajectory as a company. You know, when the language industry changed, so did we. We were working with companies of all sizes, business owners of all sizes, looking to kind of figure out what's next. You know, should they incorporate technology? Should they get involved in moving into new markets? And how would they do that? So naturally, because we understood, I suppose, the culture and the organizations and how they had grown over time by supplying talent, they were kind of coming to us naturally to say, you know, we're interested in maybe being acquired, or we're interested in acquiring, you know, do you have people in your network that might be interested? So it was a natural progression to move into inorganic growth in the mergers and acquisition side of it. I suppose I was hesitant for initially, because I'm always big on, you know, understanding exactly what it is that I do. And I've never been involved in the M&A side of businesses. So the financial side of it, you know, all of the due diligence and everything that's needed in order to get a company sale ready is not something I had expertise in. So I decided to partner, and Olga and I decided to partner together to sort of introduce the M&A piece, which is something that she had done. So it was kind of a marriage made in heaven. She had the knowledge, I had the contacts, and we both have the same, I suppose, more than anything, we both have the same values. And that's so key for everything that we do is, you know, when we're trying to introduce companies that want to grow and become one company, having the same values is a great place to start, because once you've got the same values, there's alignment in culture. A lot of the other things can fall into play. So that's massively important. And I suppose the piece in between then, which is today, we're Growth Solutions. So you introduced us as a recruitment company, which certainly is where we started life. But the Growth Solutions came out of the fact that, you know, not every company is sale ready, right? Or not every company is buy ready. So there's a preparation. So we've kind of coined a few phrases during that expertise that we've sort of been working with companies over time, because some companies need to go into seller incubation and they need consultancy services in order to do that. Some buyers need to be guided on, you know, how do they find the best seller and how do they integrate that company properly in post-merger integration and all of those different things. So we have a consulting offering that sits in the middle. So we've got the organic growth, which is the staffing, and then we have the inorganic growth, which is the M&A, and then the consulting is the glue in between. It's the journey.
Goodness, it sounds so complicated, but it'll grow naturally for you, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been an organic sort of evolution with, you know, these ideas coming up as clients come to us, you know, with these problems. So I guess it's problem solving. I mean, that's the main piece of it. I come up with a problem, how do we solve it, and how do we build a product around that? I mean, which I think is what most companies end up doing. It's listening to the clients. I mean, it's a lot easier to supply a product that you're being asked for than it is to do it the other way around, right? So it made sense for us. I mean, and the language industry, of course, has evolved so much over time that, you know, the natural progression then was the coming together of digital marketing. We were naturally being asked about expertise in that field anyway, you know, content creation with the explosion of content and so on. And then, of course, AI, data for AI, naturally being asked for talent and for companies to be acquired in that space. So we again, the evolution was natural to move into those other two fields as well, with the core of everything being language services.
As the founder of Lion People, delivering growth solutions for localization, digital media and artificial intelligence industry, you're working with people who have a specific background and experience. In relation to the localization area, what roles are in most demand? And do you have any advice for people looking to grow their career in localization?
So, you know, the roles have changed so much. As the industry has changed so much. You know, I remember back in 2018, I mean, it was project managers, it was DTP people, it was linguistic staff. You know, there wasn't the huge array of roles that there are right now. But consistently, I mean, since 2018 to today, you know, the roles that we have the bulk of all the time are sales roles. I mean, everybody's looking to increase, everybody's looking to grow, everybody's looking to land new logos. So of course, those hunting roles, you know, the ability to bring in new business has always been forefront of what we do. And then, of course, you know, it becomes verticalized. So they're looking for having the localization industry experience together with having, you know, maybe life science specific knowledge or legal regulated industry, IP discovery specific knowledge, or the ability to break into enterprise clients, which is a skill set all by itself. So, I mean, that's always been kind of the biggest role for us. Of course, project management, project coordination, program management, all the different levels of operations. And we do quite a lot of C-level positions as well, but they tend to be the hidden market. So not all of those will be advertised. You know, they kind of get filled without necessarily going to market. For people that are looking to, you know, get into the localization industry, I mean, it's just a fantastic industry. And I think one of the things that has been our Achilles heel as an industry for a long, long time is the fact that, you know, even though we're an industry that helps companies go global, we're really bad at promoting ourselves. You know, so
yes,
we haven't.
I agree.
It's so funny. You would imagine that this industry that is helping the best brands in the world go global would be amazing at self promotion, but we're not. It's almost like I heard somebody say one time at one of the conferences. I can't remember who it was right now, but it really struck me. She's like, "We are the cart that brings companies global, and there's nothing sexy about the cart." And I just thought that was brilliant. I just thought that is brilliant. So how do we make ourselves more sexy? And I think stuff like generative AI, you know, everybody's talking about ChatGPT and so on, will help that. But, you know, we are, depending on who you listen to, you know, what market research group that you listen to, you know, we're set to be a $90 billion industry by 2027 with, you know, a really impressive growth rate, 7%, depending on who you're talking to. And it's just a robust place for careers. It's a robust place for people to grow. I've noticed that our talent acquisition teams need to be more competitive now. And again, in terms of TA, we really are behind a lot of the leading industries out there in terms of our TA practices. So I think we need to, it's funny because localization is always, I've always heard localization managers say over time, or we need to have a seat at the C table for localization. Well, now we need to have a seat at the C table for talent within localization, because it's really important and we're behind the curve and we will lose our best talent if we don't, you know, develop this industry as an exciting place to grow for your careers.
Yeah, I think it's funny you say that, because like most of the people that I interview, I always start with the same question that I started with you. Like, how did you come into the industry? Many people are from most of the people is from the localization industry. And none of them started because they knew about the localization industry. They had no idea what the localization industry was. It was more I'm not going to say by mistake, but it was like someone talk about them, or like a headhunter, or like a company like yours just like went to them and was like, well, would you be interested in something like this, you know, or just by like searching jobs, or I mean, it wasn't because they were looking for it specifically. So I think it's funny that you're saying like no one knows about the localization. Yeah. They should.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, for people looking to get started, you know, there's it's much better now than it was a few years ago in terms of, you know, there are jobs boards specifically related to localization. There is, you know, the Gala does a really good job of sort of developing career. They have a career progression page on there that you can kind of look at. You know, our website and some of our blogs look at ways that you can develop your career. But I think, you know, just get started, start working for a company and sort of see where it goes. That's always my advice. Decide, I suppose the key thing is decide what you're good at. I mean, some people will be really interested in client-facing roles. They'll be really interested in something to do with marketing. They'll be really, maybe they're really interested in operations. You have to understand yourself. What am I good at? What am I interested in? And then backwards engineer that, reverse engineer that into what are the roles in the industry. So take my role skills and figure out, okay, so I like doing this, this, and this. What are the roles in the industry where those skills are required? I think that's a really nice way to kind of go about it.
That's a really great idea. Thank you for that. And I know you also have your own podcast, Lie on People Global Localization Talent Talks. What do you like about podcasting?
Well, interestingly enough, actually, we started our first podcast, LT Talks, for the reason I just mentioned, because I really felt like the industry needed to be promoted and nobody was doing anything. So I figured I'm going to do something. And it was called LT Talks back in 2018. The formula back then was going to conferences. So I went to Lockworld, I went to Gala, I went to all the different conferences. And with the permission of the conference organizers, we brought in a videographer, and we just spent the day there interviewing people right at the conference. And so it was really exciting because we had all the lights and we had the camera and we'd, you know, the whole setup. And so, you know, people were naturally drawn to come and chat with us. So it ended up being, you know, a really nice place to start the podcast. But it was very tiring because we would, like, you know, do 5, 6, in some cases, 7 interviews a day, one after the other, after the other. And then this was pre-COVID. Actually, it was during COVID, we decided that we needed to bring it online. And so we changed the format and started doing, you know, different ideas, consultant spotlight, for instance, because again, consultants in this industry, they tend to be really experienced people that have been, you know, working in all levels in a company, all the way up to C-level, from maybe even, you know, project management or whatever throughout their career. And then they get out and all of a sudden they don't necessarily want to go into a company and do it again, but they want to be a consultant, but they don't necessarily know how to sell themselves. So I just thought a consultant spotlight would be a really nice way to give those people an opportunity to sort of talk about, you know, the industry, what they love and what they can bring to the industry as a whole. Again, the idea of the podcast was to promote the industry, promote the people within it, promote us as, you know, the really warm, welcoming industry that we are. And so that's the reason I love doing the podcast. Haven't done it in the last while because I'm looking to sort of rethink it. And we did put a focus on our M&A masterclass, which we produced for all of last year, and is going again this year, but it's now a growth solutions masterclass. So I do love it because, I mean, I guess it's speaking to amazing people about things they're passionate about.
That's amazing. And you meet so many new people this way.
You do.
Yeah, I think it's great. Well, we're almost at the end of the show, but I cannot let you go without asking you about artificial intelligence, because it's the new thing right now. I saw that not very long ago. You did an episode as part of your End of the Game Growth Solution Masterclass about the growing importance of linguistics in AI. And I thought it was very interesting. Could you share with us some of the points you guys talked about?
Sure. I mean, this is a typical example of the really interesting, passionate people that we have within our industry. So that masterclass was with Jane Nemkova, who is a name that many people will know within the industry, somebody who has worked in language services and then went on to be one of the forces behind the growth of, you know, one of the big AI companies within our space that came from localization. So, you know, Jane has a huge amount of knowledge to share, and she's been working with not only that, but also been working with Middlebury University, working on training and coaching young people coming into the industry. So she'll be talking about generative AI for a long time and AI within the industry. And, you know, these are not my words, but Jane has said that, you know, she really believes, I mean, as do I, actually, by the way, that, you know, the role of linguists and other language experts will become even more critical as we go into this next phase. So I see it as more of an opportunity rather than a threat, which was echoed in what Jane had to say. You know, this AI is great at being able to generate a significant amount of content on its own, but what it doesn't have and what it lacks really is that contextual and cultural knowledge, and that's necessary in order to make the content truly meaningful. And the only people that have that expertise are linguists, maybe not in the capacity of a translator, but certainly in the capacity of language knowledge, cultural adaptation knowledge, and domain expertise. So I think that, you know, it's a good thing for our industry. It'll help to promote our industry and maybe get better at being sexy.
Yeah, I used to work at a phone bot, let's say. So it was an artificial intelligence company before. And obviously we did have people, experts in linguists, who were teaching that bot, because obviously we had programmers behind who teach the bot how to talk and how to speak on the phone, but it was never perfect in Spanish. It's really hard when it's like feminine and masculine and all those things. So they had to be listening to that bot, like making questions and then seeing how they could make it sound perfect as if it was human, and helping him learn to speak perfectly. So those linguists were like especially important in the company. So I do believe linguists are important in artificial intelligence. I mean, absolutely, they were especially important.
Yeah, agreed. Just the roles will change, the capacity will change.
Yeah, they will.
Absolutely. Yeah. But yeah.
We will teach them.
And it's exciting. It's exciting. It's exciting for our industry, I think.
Yeah, well, we came to the end of the show, but is there anything else that you would like to share with our audience today?
Well, I would like to share that on the last Thursday of every month, we run our free masterclass. It's a growth solutions masterclass. So I encourage anybody to attend. I mean, you don't have to be a business owner. You could just be interested in how to grow a company, which I think is not just but the business owner, but everybody that's within the company, whether you're in sales, whether you're in operations, we all want growth, right? And so it's interesting. It's interesting conversations with people who have achieved that growth. And it's the last Thursday of every month, and it's our Growth Solutions Masterclass, and you can get details of that on our social pages and also on our website. So we would love you to register. As I said, it's free, and it's built to be collaborative. So, you know, joining in the conversation as we go, bringing in your questions. So we'd love people to come and join us on that. It's been a great turnout last year and this year. So yeah, it's a nice resource.
What do they have to do to attend? Do they have to go to your website?
So we send out about 2 weeks before each event, we send out links where you register. We actually use LiveStorm, and we just, it's a live event, but we use it via LiveStorm, so they can register on LinkedIn and then they follow with a link to register on LiveStorm. It's pretty easy. They'll see them come up on social every month.
Okay, so let's all follow you in LinkedIn.
Live. Yes, Line People Global on LinkedIn, or myself, or on Twitter, or on Instagram, or on Facebook.
Well, thank you for everything. That's the end of today's show with Annette Lawlor. Thank you, Annette, for everything. It was a pleasure to have you.
Thank you, Maria. Pleasure speaking to you, and a pleasure speaking to Vistatech, of course.
Please make sure to tune in again to see and or to listen to the next Business Talk show, where we will be discussing more interesting topics with interesting people from all around the world. Thank you.